Well, welcome once again, fellow Biblical Explorers. We're here in another episode of Table Talks, and we're continuing to look into the book of Nehemiah. We're going to be continuing our study in Nehemiah, Rebuilding the Walls, and we're going to look this week at Nehemiah and his preparation for rebuilding those walls. Well, what did Nehemiah have to do to rebuild the walls? And how should you or I prepare for the work that God is calling us to do? Well, let's pause for a moment to read God's Word. And if you've got your Bibles, your Bible apps, and your favorite cup of coffee, let's read God's Word together, shall we? And we're looking today at Nehemiah chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses 1 to verse 8, and we're going to be reading from the New International Version. It says this: In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been burned and destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, What is it you want? And I prayed to the God of heaven. And I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, so they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter also to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. Because of the gracious hand of my God that was upon me, the king granted my requests." Well, hallelujah for that, eh? The king granted his request. The king granted the requests of Nehemiah because God's hand was upon him. Now, what does that mean for you and I today? How should you or I prepare for the work that God is calling for us to do? 4 months had passed. 4 months went by. Reread in chapter 1. Now, without going over old ground, we realize that Nehemiah had already wept, cried, fasted, sought God, his God day and night in prayer, sought that God would hear him and that God would grant him relief to leave the king's side as the cupbearer and go back to Jerusalem, to Judah, and be the builder of the city. 4 months he waited on God's answer that would allow him to actually approach the king. Now, it's interesting because we saw that there's a great lesson here to be learned about prayer. We're going to see it again here today. You see, prayer and patience go hand in hand. If you think that God's way of working in prayer is like a slot machine where you put in the prayer and you pull the arm and God's requests just come a tumbling out at will, you got another thing coming. And if you're going to be gravely disappointed in your life of prayer. All the men and women of God in the past did not just have faith, and they did not just exercise prayer, but they had patience in faith and prayer to wait and to pray for God's answer. But how should you and I prepare for the work that God is calling us to do? Well, there are three scenes in this chapter. We're going to see Nehemiah getting prepared, two really, and one where he's preparing other people. Now, we saw that last week that Nehemiah was a man of burden. He was a man of prayer. And he was a man of action. That's what made him a man for the hour. But here we see him, and we see that this burden that Nehemiah had, it didn't just lift off him magically after he did something for God, but he continually received God's burden in his life. Now, if we are preparing to do a work for God, we need to be prepared. Nehemiah was a man of preparation. We need to be prepared to receive a burden from the Lord. We need also to be prepared for the implications of that burden that the Lord puts upon us. Now, the lesson that we can derive from Nehemiah is this. Burden always necessitates the crucifixion of self. It means being crucified. To have a burden for the work of God means laying down your life for other people who are in need of Christ. This great burden that Nehemiah had led him from a life of privilege in the palace to a life of service in the midst of awful ruin and desolation. It took him from attending the high emperor to helping the lowly and despised Jews just out of the captivity. Now listen here. If you're wanting to do a work for God in no matter how small or large a capacity you feel it may be, you need to get prepared. You need to be prepared and even in the place to receive a burden from the Lord. Now, here's the second thing about Nehemiah. Nehemiah involved taking risks. Nehemiah took a risk by even entering into a conversation with the king on this matter, because the king right away could have him executed, could have slain him. The fact of the matter is that when you try to begin to serve the Lord, people sometimes get suspicious. They wonder, what are your motives? They wonder why you want to do the work, especially if we are going to take risks in doing that work. They may feel that you're glory hunting, or that you're trying to make a name for yourself, or if you've just lost your marbles. And in some way, you may be even fanatical. You're misguided in your zeal. But the fact of the matter is this. Oh, that we had more passion and more zeal for the work of God than we do today. Oh, that there were men and women more burdened among God's people to do God's work. Oh, that there were more burdened among God's people to do God's work. I'm talking about the burden that takes risks. Sure, what risks do we take today for the Lord Jesus Christ? The fact of the matter is, Nehemiah couldn't do the opposite. He couldn't ignore or hide his burden. And that's what happens when you do have a burden, you can't hide it from other people. But here's the difference in Nehemiah. He didn't stand aside and write a wee pamphlet about the demise of his brethren or denounce them for backsliding. He did something about it. He had a burden and he took a risk. My friends, he didn't wash his hands of the matter and say, well, it's just a sign of the times. It's only to be expected these days. Our people have been led into captivity. It's going to take a while, but his deep grief, his genuine grief and burden led him to do something about it. He had a deep desire within his soul to be an instrument in the hand of God for a revival of truth and the recovery of God's people and the derelict city of Jerusalem, where God was and put his name and his glory. He kept receiving God's burden. There's the first preparation in the palace. The second is he took risks for God and he couldn't hide his burden. No matter what anybody else said or did, he just pressed on and pressed ahead. Now, here's the third. He was in the palace still. He mightn't get any further than the palace. Sometimes the preparation for the work that God would have us to do means that we've got to stay in the palace until we hear from God. Verse 4 says, then the king said unto me, for what do you want? What do you want? So I pray to the God of heaven. He made that hasty prayer. Remember last week? I hope you noticed it. Here's his answer to his prayer. The king says, what do you request? What do you want? Now that I know the plight of your people are in Jerusalem, what do you want? What did Nehemiah do? Did he say, oh, here's the answer, bingo, and ask the king right away? No. What did he do? He prayed to the God of heaven. Remember that hasty prayer. It's not true, dear folks, this morning, that sometimes we only really give lip service to prayer and we can to continually and instead of continuing in prayer. We believe in prayer. We believe in constant prayer. This man lived in an atmosphere of prayer that surrounded him wherever he went. He was this constant resource throughout all his varied experiences, good and bad. And he walked with God, and he was called by God because he talked with God and had a relationship with God. Because of his continuation in prayer and relation, do you know what happened? He began to see things the way God sees them. How do I know that? Well, look at verse 4. He calls God the God of heaven. Do you ever pray like that when you're in dire need just before you do something? Remember God of heaven. Remember our last study on Nehemiah's prayer? He prayed for 4 months, day and night. You would have thought he wouldn't need to pray at the last minute here, but he does. He puts up that hasty prayer. Do you know what tells me? This is for the preparation of the work now. No prayer is enough prayer. It doesn't matter who that man or woman is, how important they are, or how close they are. God can turn the tables. God can change the seasons. And God can change the heart. A little prayer on the foundation of 4 months of prayer, and God answered that prayer in changing the heart of the king. Because Nehemiah believed that, he discerned the answer when it came. And in verse 5, right away after he prayed that prayer, he said to the king, if it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, you would send me to Judah. Wow. Now, the queen was by him, just kind of whispering in his ear. And so the king looked at Nehemiah and says, how long are you going to take? When are you going to be back? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set a time. Moreover, I said to the king, if it please the king, give me letters to the governors and to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. Isn't this remarkable? Nehemiah discerns the answer to prayer that God has given him. Now, here's a lesson for us all. We often pray with regards to God's work, and when God answers our prayer, sometimes we don't even see it. Yet it is staring us right in the face. When we feel the burden to pray, we should be looking for God's answers because he sets us to pray. And he sets us to pray to fulfill his will. Nehemiah was invoking God's word, and he's saying to the Lord, this is your word. You fulfill it. I didn't write it. You did. You wrote it. You fulfill it for your glory. That's why when the answer came, Nehemiah saw it. Because he was the man praying for it. He was the man up all night pleading and weeping and fasting for God to act and to answer prayer. Well, that's what happened when God lays burdens on us. It's been said that when God wants to bless his people, he sets them a praying. God doesn't lay burdens on you to make you miserable. Maybe some of us are like that. Without burdens, we're just plain miserable. But God lays burdens on your heart to set you a praying so that you might pray to fulfill God's will, which is enshrined in God's word. That's all the more reason that when we're praying and we feel the burden to pray, we should be looking for God's answers to prayer because he's setting us to pray to fulfill his will. Do we claim the promises of God in prayer? Do you claim it? Do we discern God's answers to pray, to our prayers? The last thing I want you to note when we've noted it, even if you've missed it, receiving God's burden, taking risks, continuing in prayer, discerning the answers, but that's not the last one. It is accumulating the resources to do the job. Now, Nehemiah asks the king after being asked what he wants. He accumulated all the possible resources. He got everything he could get together for that work before he did it. Remember the Lord saying about preparing for war and making sure that you've got the army to fight? Well, here's John Wesley's 3 points on the subject of giving to God's work in preparation. And actually, they're very simple. earn all you can, save all you can, and then give all you can. Isn't that great? Earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. There was one time in the history of the United Kingdom that dark clouds of war hung over, and there was a great threat of Nazi Germany destroying civilization and all that Christianity heritage held dear. And they were doing that right across the whole of Europe. There was a man, I believe, of God, but I don't know whether he was a believer or not, but he was raised of God, I believe, just like Nehemiah, to meet the need of the hour, to meet that foe. That was Winston Churchill. Those who've heard his speeches could tell that his speeches were like an army in and of themselves. Just as the soldiers were about to wilt on the battlefield, the speeches of Winston Churchill would bring life and vitality into them. Well, when the Americans were just about to join the Second World War near the end, the Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, directed these dynamite words to then President Roosevelt. And he said this, "Give us the tools, and we'll finish the job." You can just hear him say it, can't you? Give us the tools, and we'll finish the job. Like Nehemiah's request to Artaxerxes, Nehemiah said, give me permission to build, give me the timber to build, give me a safe passage to build, and we'll finish the job. Are you receiving a burden from God? Are you taking risks in it? Are you continuing in prayer? Do you look for the answers to prayer? Here's the final preparation at the royal palace. He's looking in all of this and recognizing God's hand and all the blessings of it. Nehemiah was so sure of God's blessings that we read, and we haven't time to nearly read it, but at the end of verse 6, he says, "So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time." He was so expectant of the blessings and the answers of prayer that he had already worked it out in his mind ahead of time. He worked out when he was going to go. All they would need in preparation and when he was going to come back again. He worked out all this materials and that he needed. Why? Because he knew that God's hand was upon him. He knew God was faithful. We talked about this last week. God's faithful. God loves you. God is answering your prayer right now. So have faith and believe. Look at the end of verse 8. "And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." God's strong hand was his good hand. What are you doing practically to make sure that you've got God's hand on you? Are you receiving a burden from God? Are you taking risks in it? Are you continuing in prayer? Are you praying for an answer? Are you looking for the answer? Do you accumulate all the possible resources for the work of God that God just wants to give you? And are you looking for God's hand on your own life this morning? You see, until you do that, and that's not all we'll find out next week, until you do that, and you're not prepared for the work, and you're not prepared to give any advice on the work either. But if you have God's hand on you, it will be proved in the blessing of the resources spiritually that God is giving you and wants to give you. Maybe between this week and next, you could start to implement some of those preparatory factors in your life that we've heard about this morning, so that next week we can take up where we left off and implement more. But it's only then when you get near to that cross, that the cross of pain and agony and sorrow, that you start to feel the burden. You start to do the work that Jesus would have you to do. My friends, let's pray together this morning. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I know I need to repent of all my sins. I feel my inadequacy and my falling far short of all that you want for me and all that matters to you. And I pray, Lord, that you will forgive me as I confess my sins to you. And all of my backsliding at times where I'm not in the position or place to really do the work that you've got me to do. Lord, get me into that place right now. Like Nehemiah, give me a burden. Help me to take the risks. Help me to pray for the answers that you're going to give me. And help me to recognize those answers. And help me to step out in faith for the work that you would have me to do. I'm praying this in and through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. My friends, if you've prayed that prayer, and if you have, even if you haven't, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get to know you. And my friends, we'd love to get to know you. Check in our website at sawhitby.ca. Drop us a note there. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray with you. May God richly bless you today.